This afternoon, we open the Word of God both in the Old Testament and in the New. We first turn to the fifth book of Moses, Deuteronomy, chapter 32, to the song of Moses at the end of his ministry. Deuteronomy 32, page 205 in our Pew Bible, 205. We read to verses 7 through 18. Deuteronomy 32, verse 7, where we hear the Lord speak through Moses to us. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you, your elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of the peoples according to the number of the sons of God. But the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob, his allotted heritage. He found him in a desert land, and in the howling waste of the wilderness, he encircled him, he cared for him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them on its pinions, the Lord alone guided him. No foreign god was with him. He made him ride on the high places of the land, and he ate the produce of the field, and he suckled him with honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. Curds from the herd, milk from the flock, with fat of lambs, rams of Bashan and goats, with the very finest of the wheat, and you drank foaming wine made from the blood of the grape. But Yeshurun grew with fat and kicked. You grew fat, stout, and sleek. Then he forsook God who made him and scoffed at the rock of his salvation. They stirred him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons that were no gods, to gods they had never known, to new gods that had come recently, whom your fathers had never dreaded. You were unmindful of the rock that bore you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth. We now turn to Luke chapter 11, the Gospel of Luke chapter 11, the verses 1 through 13, page 1033, Luke 11. We continue to hear the Lord speak to us. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Finally, we turn to the last book of the Bible again, this time in chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1, page 1218, 1218. We read the verses 9 through 20. I, John, your brother, and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun, shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, the things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So far our scripture passages. In the exposition of the doctrine of salvation, we have come to Lord's Day 45 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Page 893 in the back of our Trinity Psalter hymnal, 893. Lord's Day 45. Why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who continually and with heartfelt longing ask God for these gifts and thank Him for them. How does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart, to no other than the one true God, who has revealed himself to us in his word, asking for everything he has commanded us to ask of him. Second, we must fully recognize our need and misery, so that we humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation, even though we do not deserve it. God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord, as he has promised us in his word. What has God commanded us to ask of him? Everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord himself taught us. What is this prayer? Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's Lord's Day 45. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, did you notice, brothers and sisters, that the Lord's Days 44 and 45 have the prayer for the Holy Spirit in common? In Lord's Day 44, we confess that we cannot keep God's commandments perfectly. Still, these commandments are preached pointedly. We do so that while praying to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, we may not stop striving to be renewed more and more. And now here in Lord's Day 45, when we consider why prayer is necessary for Christians, we confess again, God wants to be prayed for his Holy Spirit. Prayer and the Holy Spirit have everything to do with each other. We see that every time when we speak about praying in the Spirit, as the Apostle Paul calls it, for instance, in Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Then we are reminded of the importance of our prayer in the Spirit for our spiritual warfare. And it's interesting, beloved, that after I proclaim the word of God about prayer, I often receive a few reactions. And they are quite telling, I may add, in the way that some admit their need for prayer, for better prayers, and for prayer instruction. It is telling, though, that some come to realize how surprising or disconcerting it is that even after a whole life of praying, they still have such a hard time doing it. Well, at least they realize it, and they admit it. They ask for advice. Yes, for prayer instruction. Then don't feel ashamed for that, though, I always say. This is what the disciples asked the Lord Jesus too when they had seen and heard him pray. Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples, they said. These disciples, brothers and sisters, sure knew how to pray. They prayed at home and in the temple and in the synagogue. They knew how to lift up their hands, kneel down, prostrate themselves. They had done it for years, I'm sure. Still, they asked, why? Well, because praying and praying are two. You may know what to do and what is involved, but when they see the Lord Jesus pray, hear him pray, they realize this is different. This is intense, higher, and deeper, with true confidence and eager longing. That's why they ask, teach us to pray like you do. It's the request I receive, since with us too, there is the desire sometimes to increase our prayers, improve them, grow in our praying, and have them more spiritually, more scripturally. Well, that's what the Lord's Days 45 to 52 are all about. We join the Holy Spirit in Christ's prayer instruction. So I proclaim the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer with Christ's prayer instruction. First of all, for our prayers to God. Secondly, for our petitions and praise. And thirdly, for our pleas as child of Christ. That's how I would like to summarize the message of this afternoon. The Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer with Christ's prayer instruction. For our prayers to God, for our petitions and praise, and for our pleas as child in Christ. So Christ's prayer instruction for our prayers to God. When you read Lord's Day 45, brothers and sisters, you see how much can be brought to bear on the matter of prayer. As with every Lord's Day, we need to be selective. Every time around, we should preach on this Lord's Day with a different emphasis, a different angle of approach, or a different aspect for our consideration. Still, at all times, we should realize what prayer is all about. It should be foremost in our heart and mind that prayer is our speaking with God. As in every relationship, for the maintenance of this relationship, good communication is indispensable. That is true for our relationship with God as well. Another prime requirement for effective and meaningful relationships and communication is a good knowledge of each other. That too is indispensable for our prayers to God. We need to know God, and we need to get to know Him better all the time. The better you know Him, the better you will be able to pray to Him. Remember when I preached the Word of God to you regarding the ninth commandment, I put the emphasis on this communication with God. At that time, we focused on the use of our tongue, of our language. Then we saw that God created us for this relationship with Him. He also gave us a tongue, a language, and the ability to speak, because He was seeking communication with us. He speaks to us and is seeking a response from us. Especially in the covenant relationship with us, this responsive communication is essential. After the fall into sin too, He came to man to pursue this relationship and communication. He did not withdraw Himself or retreat into His heavenly presence. He addressed man, manifested Himself to him, and revealed Himself to man, at least to some, in His Word. He gave His promises, made some His children, and granted His blessings, yes, even the prospect of restoration and renewal and life. And He expects a response to that. He has told us this. He wants to hear your response, see your dependence, expect your longing for Him, your cries for help to Him, if you will. That's what prayer is for. After the flood, beloved, the people went their own way and forgot about this talking to God. Sometime later, their languages were confused, and they knew less and less about God as time went on. They still prayed, perhaps, but because they forgot so much about God, their prayers deteriorated into rituals that showed their ignorance. They remembered a few things, like God as creator, or about the event of the flood. Yet they forgot His name, His will, and the fact that there is only one true God. They prayed to many gods. They considered powers in nature as God. But God Himself, they forgot. true prayer ceased. A true response in faith and gratitude disappeared. That's why God manifested himself to a special people, spoke to some whom he set apart for himself, and made a covenant with Abraham and his seed. He wanted prayers. He desired to hear a response. God is the holy God, beloved, the creator of heaven and earth. He spoke and it was there. He commanded and everything stood forth. He wants to be praised for that. He is the great and majestic God, and he wants those who know him to address him as such. A lot of people don't do so anymore today. Do you? He wants to hear whether you see his handiwork and what you think of his promises in the covenant with you. As the Almighty God, he is providing for you and wants to hear your thanksgiving for that. In every religion on earth, prayer is an essential part. But among the people in the Western world, many have given up on that. He wants to be thanked for your food, also for your lunch in the truck. Do you do that still? Muslims have no problem with that. They pray 5 times a day. Their prayers, however, are prayed to Allah. They kneel down with their face to Mecca. Allah, however, is not God. Allah doesn't do anything for them. God the Creator is the Almighty God who has revealed himself in his word, the Bible. He is our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to know him as such. We need to pray to God, beloved, who has manifested himself as the Holy One, the only true God. At Sinai, he manifested himself when the mountain burned like a volcano. In the thunder and flashes, and by the mighty sound of a trumpet, he is the Holy God, who in his jealousy for his people came to them, carried them, and showed his love to them. He showed himself a lion in Judah when they ignored him. He is the holy God who also showed himself in his holiness, in his love in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ as well manifested himself to John at Patmos in his holiness, with feet like bronze glowing in a furnace, with eyes like a blazing fire, and brightly radiant with white garments, and a golden sash around his chest. That's how God is. That's how he manifests himself in heaven. And so is Jesus Christ, holy. When you pray, remember that. That's why I always say at home, at school or in catechism classes, let's pray reverently. We pray to God, the Holy One, the fearsome God, the awesome one, yet whom we know in his love as well, a burning love, a jealous love. Remember that when you pray. Now, I'm not holding this up to you, beloved, to scare you off, but to help you realize to whom you pray, the God from his word. He is the Lord, our covenant God, who came to us in Jesus Christ. He came to John, and his holy appearance to John doesn't deter such a response either. He puts his hand on John's shoulder. He assures John, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. I've conquered death. I'm your savior." That's what we should remember. That's how he spoke to Adam when he trembling fled, and to the shepherds in the field of Ephrathah, "Fear not, for I proclaim to you glad tidings of great joy." Remember that when you respond to him in your prayers. He came in love. He spoke in love. That's how he is, our almighty, majestic, and glorious God, a God of love. Now, in order to increase our prayers, improve our prayer life, beloved, we have to know him from his word. We have to learn his ways, his words, and his will more and more so as to respond to it. Our eyes must be opened for his majesty in nature. Our ears must hear his voice in the thunder. Our bodies must feel his footsteps in the earthquakes. Our lives must be filled with his love so that we see it in the spring, in his care, in the freedom, the peace, and the blessings with which to serve him, respond to him in prayer. Do we want that? Only if we want to grow in knowledge and increase in awareness and gain a greater consciousness do we really desire a richer prayer, deeper, higher, and more pleasing to God. Therefore, read his word. Know of his holiness and his love, and then raise up your heart to the Lord. Seek him in his throne of grace, where he is surrounded by the angels who cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord," as the prophets foretold us. Thus, seek the Lord Jesus Christ in his throne of grace, as the letter to the Hebrews urge us, and speak to him in love, in gratitude. That first. Secondly, Christ's prayer instruction for our petitions and praise. Then what do we pray for, beloved? Well, for a lot. Yes, as we confess, for all things we need for body and soul, physically and spiritually. Christ included this in his prayer instruction with the Lord's Prayer. He taught us the right petitions in the right order and within the framework of our prayer and praise to God, the Almighty God who is in heaven, and his faithful Father to whom he prayed at every occasion in the Spirit. Yes, again, in the Spirit. That's what we have to realize first. Lord's Day 45 puts that up front, and we should not gloss that over. God will give his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who continually and with heartfelt longing ask God for these gifts and thank him for them. We need to pray for his grace and Holy Spirit. We need to pray in faith, in love, through God's Holy Spirit. You know, in this time, beloved, there is much attention for the work of the Holy Spirit. I addressed that the week before last, too. The traditional church, as even the Reformed churches, have been reproached for a lack of attention for the Holy Spirit. I doubt that very much. Certainly, thanks to the faithful preaching of the Word of God as summarized in the Heidelberg Catechism, we have been required to give ample attention for the work and presence of the Holy Spirit. Surely, especially when we came to speak about the response of faith in prayer, the Holy Spirit has been front and center, and rightly so. It's the fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah, for instance, which showed the gift of the Holy Spirit for the purpose of God's grace and prayer. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. Well, just before the Lord Jesus was arrested and crucified, he promised, "Your heavenly Father will give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him." Luke 11, verse 13. He also assured his disciples of the gift of the Holy Spirit as their counselor, their comforter. Yes, especially for the purpose of prayer, I should add. As Paul emphasizes so clearly in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit, Paul stresses, gives us the confidence to pray. And the Holy Spirit moves us to address God as Father in prayer. Abba, Father. Yes, the Holy Spirit joins us in prayer and improves our prayers, perfects them, completes them. So when we realize how necessary prayer is for Christians, beloved, and we desire to increase our prayers and learn to pray, Lord's Day 45 starts out by echoing Christ's prayer instruction when it says, God wants to be prayed for his Holy Spirit. You may come to God the Father with all your petitions and ask him for all you need, everything for body and soul, yet first ask for his Holy Spirit. He teaches you to believe, to trust, to hope, and he moves you to do so as child of God. It's the Holy Spirit who reminds you of the Christ prayer instruction when he teaches you to call upon God as your Father, who won't send his child away, or who, just like a friend, won't let you wait in the night. Even though that might happen with earthly parents, God the Father will never send you away. Yes, if sinful parents do everything they can to care for you, how much more your Father who is in heaven? The Lord Jesus does not teach you that you will always get better when you pray for healing, or that the Father will fill your every wish you express to him. But he does promise that God will give you his Holy Spirit when you ask for it to help you bear your cross, to help you with patience, with endurance, to help you forgive each other, and to give you strength so that you won't succumb in the midst of temptations. Prayer, we confess, brothers and sisters, is the most important part of the thankfulness that God requires of us. Thankfulness for what? Well, for everything. For life and light. For new life and healthy families. For food and drink. For love and joy. For help and strength. For comfort and the gospel. We receive it all from God, for of him and through him and unto him are all things. To him, therefore, is the glory, the praise and thanksgiving, in psalm and song, in prayer and praise. Or is it? Are we that thankful? Or is it just me that I seem to hear so little of it? And much more complaining about a lack of love, a lack of joy, a lack of fruit, a lack of action, etc. How come? When there is a lack of any of these things, is it not due to a lack of prayer for God's Holy Spirit? Do we want to increase in prayer? Pray for the Holy Spirit. Do we desire a richer, a deeper, and more joyful and thankful life with God? Pray for the Holy Spirit. Lord, teach us to pray, the disciples said, beloved, because they knew that God wanted them to pray and that they were allowed to pray. Yet they wanted the same as they saw and heard in Jesus' prayer, a more intense and spiritual prayer. And you? Well, pray for God's grace and Holy Spirit with heartfelt longing, or as it used to read, with deep sighing for these gifts and thank Him for them. Pray with urgency, with confidence, with power, and with gratitude. When you pray out loud at the table, instill it in the hearts and lives of your children. Bring your petitions and praise to God the Father in the power of the Holy Spirit for yourself, for your family, for your loved ones, your brothers and sisters in the Lord, and for the needs of this world. Pray for God's glory, for His kingdom, His will in your own heart and life, and pray for a new heart and faith for your children. Pray with petitions and praise, with thanksgiving and warmth. Especially, pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Yes, pray with knowledgeable pleas as child of Christ, our third point. Indeed, beloved, we need to know God as the holy God and the God of love in Jesus Christ. We need to know our priorities and prayers, our petitions and praise as Christ has taught them. Then Lord's Day 45 also adds that we must know ourselves. We need to know our need and misery so that we may humble ourselves before God. We also need to know ourselves in Jesus Christ. Although we don't deserve it, God does want to give us His grace, and for Christ's sake, He will hear our prayer as He has promised us in His Word. How important that is too. So often we can feel so small and so unworthy of God's grace. We feel so guilty because of our sins, our shortcomings. Yes, indeed, in this context too, our self-examination for the celebration of the Lord's Supper comes to mind, where it says in the form, we do not have perfect faith, and we do not serve God with such zeal as He requires. Daily we have to contend with the evil desires of our flesh. Yet, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we are heartily sorry. Yes, Lord, teach us to pray. We learn to ask, beloved, and help us also to know our need and misery. So often, however, we don't dare to go to Him. What's God going to say when we come again after we had just asked for forgiveness and fell into the same sin again? That's what bothers us more and more. And the older I get, the more I see it. Then there is again the prayer instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ. He includes this too in His model prayer. After His work at Golgotha, His resurrection from the dead and victory over sin and Satan, after His ascension into heaven and His promised Holy Spirit from heaven, yes, after He has signified and sealed to me by baptism the washing away of our sins and the renewal of our lives, He puts His hand on your and my shoulder and He says, don't be afraid. I have overcome sin and Satan. I hold the keys of death and Hades. Ask for forgiveness of your sins in my name and for my help in the midst of the temptations, and I will help you because I will hear you. Lord, teach me to pray, beloved. That also means, Lord, teach me to know myself. With all the needs and misery that will come to light, it also means, Lord, remind me that I am your child in Christ. And fill me with all the joys and assurances that come with that. I need your Holy Spirit for that. Yes, His Holy Spirit is more important than food and drink, more important than a degree, a career, or a good health, or whatever may seem important in this world. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, or whatever may seem, fill me with your Holy Spirit and show me your grace, that I may come just as I am, a small and humble child, a believing child, and a renewed child who has been purchased by Christ's precious blood and who through him may live with you, Father, and for you, for your glory, your kingdom, doing your will, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us respond by singing from Psalm 63b. O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face, within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. 63b, all three stanzas, is our song of response.